You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in pulmonary medicine and internal medicine with advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Dr. Emder. How's it going?
Great to be on the show as usual.
Yes.
You look marvelous.
Oh, well, thank you, dear. It's all the, you know, anti-aging stuff that you have me doing, eating healthy and exercising and...
Great.
You know,
it's paying off.
What can I say? Yeah. Well, I'm addicted to the information.
And I've got more information.
I know. You just said, so last week with all of your, I mean, usually this first part of the show, we're always talking about some wild trip that you've taken, whether it's, you know, overseas or some cruise or whatnot. And I thought you said you were gone last week and you said,
Back to Vegas, baby. I know.
I thought you were on vacation, but now you're telling me that you were on
I was in the American College of, it's called A4M. And it's the American College of Anti-Aging.
About four days of updates
on what's the latest and greatest of what's going on in the field of aging and how to stay healthy. And
nice.
We had amazing people come and talk to us.
Oh, please share. Please share. I feel like we could end up doing the whole show on this, but we do have an awesome show planned. So
all right,
we can't
well,
do
first
that.
First off, Dr. Trevor Stork, I guess it's Travis Stork. Is the doctor on the Doctor Show.
The Doctor Show?
Yeah, it's on television. It's an Emmy Award-winning show where he has guests come on and talk about new developments in medicine. So he spoke with us, telling about his experience. He's actually an ER physician,
okay,
an unbelievable speaker. And he was basically saying that, you know, when we get up each morning, we make innumerable decisions that affect our health that can be either in a positive way or a negative way. And
okay,
he kind of went through them one by one. First thing is, you know, brushing your teeth and flossing your teeth. What he pointed out is that inflammation is a major part of problems with chronic disease. And a big area where you get chronic inflammation is from the mouth. So oral care is extremely important. And just a simple thing like flossing your teeth. Huge effect on your general health.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I work with a lot of orthopedic surgeons. And one of the things that they ask their patients or, you know, right before they have surgery, they look in their mouth, you know, and they ask, you know, how's their dental hygiene? Because if they've got inflammation or, you know, issues there, they won't operate on them because it just kind of increases
kind of
the spread of infections.
Well, it shows what could be going on in the entire part of your body. I think even heart disease, high C-reactive proteins are associated with poor dental care. So point number one, make sure you brush in the morning and floss your teeth, you know, like a simple thing. Second thing is, you know, going down for, you know, your breakfast. He said probably the most important meal you will eat during the day is your breakfast. And the reason why it's breakfast break the fast, that's when the number one, you get your nutrition, lower your insulin levels. And by getting a good breakfast under your belt, you decrease your risk of things like diabetes and glucose intolerance. And he's a big proponent of oatmeal.
I love oatmeal.
Yeah, which is very healthy, you know, good for the mind.
Though you can't eat oatmeal if you're going gluten-free. We attempted that. Do you remember?
Right. We did talk about that. So,
the gluten free. So
the good news about gluten free, it is, or being a gluten sensitivity, it's a small part of the population.
Right.
If you have the disease, you know, you're out of luck. But
right,
most people should not be have a gluten sensitivity.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the third thing is probably the biggest cause of death among our young population is accidents. So, when you go out the front door and get in your car, make sure you put on your seatbelt. If you buy a bike for your children, make sure you also buy them a helmet with the bike. So he was pointing out all these little things that we do that can have a major effect on the health of ourselves and on our family. He was really a great great speaker. I thought it was all fluff, but he's got a lot of substance to his presentation.
I was going to say some of that though sounds like common sense.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of us elect not to follow that common sense.
Yeah, I guess common sense is not so common, is it?
Yeah, so our second speaker was Suzanne Summer.
I like her.
She's 67 years old, and she's proud of being 67. She's a healthy 67.
She looks amazing, that's
why. She's amazing, and she was talking about her experience. She's very into making sure she doesn't eat any genetically modified foods.
GMOs.
The GMOs, so she made a big point of that. And she's a big believer on bioidentical hormone therapy.
Which is what exactly?
Hormone replacement, post-menopause. And she was talking about you know, the importance of obviously exercise. And she has her husband who's in his 70s exercising, and how much energy and activity they both share in common to stay healthy. And
ways she used the Thighmaster.
She doesn't need to. So she
created that.
Oh, is that right? I don't know. Yeah.
What? Yes.
I didn't know. So she's pretty entrepreneurial, but she also has, you know, had a lot of good things to say. I mean, she even pointed out that, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to the gym to work out, because a lot of us are so busy during our day that we don't have time to go to the gym. But by being active during the day, you know, you probably are getting, I know I'm getting a lot of exercise, because in the hospital, when I want to go up to another floor, I walk up the stair. I don't take the elevator. And then, you know, when I'm on the phone, you know, I just don't sit there. I'm always walking around. Well, it turns out if you're always, you know, I call it having the spilkas. You know, if you're always moving, if you're always active, you're actually burning calories. And so, you know, you can get a good workout during the day if you just avoid being sedentary.
Nice.
So, you know, how cool is that?
I'm impressed.
And then the third, we had a lot of speakers, but the third one, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. His name is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, the Governator.
The Governator. Yeah. The Governator got an award from the A4M. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, just a like softball pitch to him. But basically what they pointed out is that he has been very proactive for exercise. And in fact, he once a year, I think in Columbus, Ohio, he has a an international expose where like 100,000, 150,000 people show up strictly for fitness and exercise meeting.
I believe that. I mean, there's like a massive, that's a world of people. Like they are, some of them can get very extreme. Obviously, there's a health aspect to it because...
Well, you know, he pointed out, you know, when he, you know, initially he just wanted to be a bodybuilder. And when he first came into the, you know, the exercise market, you know, we didn't have the you know, the gyms that we have now. And he says, you fast forward, you know, 30 years to 2013, 2014, every hotel you go to has a gym now. And, but, you know, years ago, you know, there would never be a gym associated with it. Everybody's into fitness. And a lot of it is for, you know, his being proactive. And he mentioned his forebears, like Jack LaLanne. It's probably before your time.
Oh no, he was the wasn't he the juicer?
I know he was a juicer, but he had a TV show back, I think, in the 50s and 60s. You know, doing a, you know, workout shows, and he also mentioned Jane Fonda, you know, with her, you know, videos for women, which great to get everybody into the importance of exercise. And I mean, what he pointed out was that, you know, early on, people thought, well, you know, if you if you exercise too much, you know, you may become like, you know, gay people do that. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing in this day and age. But there were a lot of social mores against exercise. We're going back in the 70s and 80s. So he got an award for being out there and pushing what he's done over the years, you know, pushing exercise for health.
Oh, wow.
So that was my weekend. And, of course, I did have to get a little shopping in.
Yeah. I guess you can't go to Vegas without shopping or eating or...
So here's the issue is, and I'll probably talk about this in our next segment, is, you know, one of the ways to stay healthy is you got to keep your wife happy. But, you know, if mama...
One of the ways to stay alive is keeping your wife healthy. Course, that's like, more like it.
Yeah. So, you know, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Nobody.
And so in the old days, you know, I would like be gambling. But, you know, when you're gambling, you know, you're not with your spouse. You know, you're kind of doing, you know, your own thing. So I've been to Vegas three times in the last 6 months. I haven't gambled one nickel.
Well, that's impressive, except you're shopping, aren't you?
Well, you know what? I just realized it would have been cheaper for me to gamble because I've been, like, shopping like crazy. So,
Oh, Mrs. Emder.
You know how you get in the mood here? You know, everything's... Bright lights and everything.
It's like nothing costs money. There's no calories in the cocktails.
Yeah,
like it's
exactly.
Just, you know, time doesn't matter. It's the oxygen.
Yeah. So it was a great weekend. So I don't want to do all the talking. Tell me about your weekend. And you got 30 seconds.
It's just, I mean, it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
So
crazy time, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And I'd like to say I'm finally done with my Christmas shopping. And then somebody comes up and they're like, oh, I got you a Christmas gift. And you're like, oh
yeah, right.
I got yours at home. I didn't realize we were exchanging today.
Like,
you know, and then you got to like run back to the store and it's one more gift on the list, you know, but It's fun. I mean, it's holidays, except we're in, because we're new to San Diego, we're in a small little townhome just trying to get our wits about us as to where. So we didn't have room for a tree and all that stuff. So it's very sad. But next year, I feel like it'll be good. So.
And I understand you're like an Apple girl now.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm on my Mac. I love my Mac.
It's amazing.
God. I should have converted a long time ago.
It's very intuitive to use that operating system, you must admit.
Intuitive. It doesn't take much. Yeah. I think that's why it. I don't know what took me so long to go this way. I mean,
Are you going to the Apple store and taking they have one-on-one sessions that make you.
No, I just stand at the counter where they have the scrolling thing that gives you all the tips on how to like italicize your words on your iPhone and stuff like that. You could just sit there and soak up information and become a smarter person after walking out of that place.
Well, they have seminars where you can go in and learn.
I don't have time for that. Do you have time for that?
I do. No. I've been taking two
classes. Are you serious?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. We could just do an entire show on everything that you've learned. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we'll just skip our guests and you and I will just talk.
No,
the rest
we cannot.
Of the show.
We cannot skip our guests because this is a fascinating topic.
We do. We have actually my ophthalmologist.
Yes.
I mean, he's so much my ophthalmologist. I was in his office yesterday getting laser eye surgery.
You got laser eye surgery yesterday?
Yes.
And even Wait, after what?
Laser eye surgery.
I thought there was like a lot of time before you could take eye patches off. Wow, a lot's
Both
changed,
eyes.
Hasn't it?
Both eyes.
What?
And he's here today to talk to us about eyes.
Wow.
And how to see better. Dr.
Okay.
Barry Katzman.
Yes, yes. So, okay. So, audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back with Dr. Katzman and answering all the questions that we've got about laser eye surgery and eyes and everything. This is encompassing everything. All right. Stay with us.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and have the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And Dr. Emder, we have an awesome guest today, so I'm super excited. I'll hand it over to you. You can introduce
him. This is Dr. Barry Katzman. He's probably one of the first physicians I worked with when I came to San Diego.
And he's so also, long ago.
That's so long ago. I don't think you were born. What else? He's my ophthalmologist. I was in his office yesterday getting a bilateral laser eye surgery.
I'm shocked that you had laser eye surgery yesterday and you're sitting here.
Well, I'm tough.
I had no idea.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a minor surgery, so I don't get too excited. But Dr. Katzman is an undergrad of one of the oldest colleges in the United States, Union College, Schenectady, New York, founded in 1795.
Wow.
I hope they replaced some of their initial buildings. Yeah. then he went to medical school in Mexico in Guadalajara and graduated in 1974. He did an internal medicine rotating internship at NYU, then went to Columbia University, Harlem campus, for his ophthalmology training, did 1 year of neuro-ophthalmology at the Kingsbrook NYC, and is board certified in ophthalmology and has been in the San Diego since 1981 and practices with West Coast Eye Care. Dr. Katzman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So I guess my first question is, tell us about some of the misconceptions people have about, eyes.
Stuff your mom told you?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There are a lot of misconceptions with eyes, like reading in the dark is going to harm you. It'll cause you a headache, maybe, but it doesn't cause any harm. Watching TV too close.
Really?
That doesn't? Other than causing headache. That fear came about from early TV, in the early days of TVs, like late 50s, when TVs were thought to have, like, radiation leaks, around the TV. So the thought was if you sat too close, that could somehow cause damage to you. But in terms of your eyes, it won't affect you at all. Like, kids will tend to sit very close to the TV because they want to be immersed in what they're seeing. They don't want anything getting in their way. It doesn't actually cause any harm at all. No. Mm. And lighting makes it easier, especially as you get older. You need more light to read. But reading in the dark, if you can, is not going to harm you at all.
So people don't go blind from reading under low light.
People don't go blind from reading under low light. Wearing glasses doesn't make your eyes better or worse. They make you see better. But not wearing them doesn't harm you. There's a misconception that if you wear them, that it's somehow going to weaken your eyes or harm you. What does happen is once you're used to wearing glasses and you see clearer, you tend to not be happy with the blurred vision without the glasses, but nothing really changes. Glasses do not make the eyes better or worse. What they do is they allow you to see more clearly. As you get over 40 years old, you start losing the ability to focus up close. It's a condition called presbyopia. It's a normal aging condition, and if you think back to your parents or yourself, as you get older, you start holding things farther and farther away, especially like if you go to a restaurant, it's a little dark, you can't see it, and you hold it farther away. That's a progressive aging of your ability to focus up close, and that progresses from age 40 to about age 65, where every couple of years you need stronger reading glasses. This is a normal aging condition. Wearing glasses to help you see doesn't make it worse or better. It just allows you to see. A lot of people are always afraid to wear glasses because they think it's somehow it's going to harm you. So those are some common misconceptions in terms of eyes.
Now, I've always heard, and obviously it's the opposite of what you just said, that if you wear glasses, it kind of starts training your eyes, like exercising them. And then when you take them off, you could heal them.
It's not a training thing. There was a optometrist actually in late 50s who created what he called the Bates technique of vision. Not the Bates Motel, but the Bates technique of vision. And his technique was he thought you shouldn't wear glasses. You should learn blurry vision. And if you learn blurry vision, you would learn that if something looked in a certain shape, you could say that's what it is. And that was his concept of improving your vision. Glasses do not make your eyes better or worse. The only thing is, when you're used to seeing better, you're not as happy taking the glasses off because things are blurry. But wearing them or not wearing them doesn't change your health of your eye or change your need for the prescription.
Interesting. Okay.
What about, some people have glasses for reading or just for computers, and talk about the different kinds of glasses.
Well, there's all kinds of glasses, and we have, for example, sports glasses. We probably have about 15 different types of sports glasses. Each has different lenses. If you're a shooter, you want to wear a yellow lens. If you're a boater, you wear a different type of lens. If you play outdoor tennis, it's a different type of lens. There are different lenses with different tints that do make a great difference in terms of certain activities. There are certain medical conditions, there's a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which is a hereditary condition where slowly you lose your vision and you have extreme light sensitivity. There are special lenses made by Corning Optical where they will basically accentuate the filtering of light so that you can see better and the light doesn't cause as much blurring. So there's all kinds of different tints to a lens that you can used to augment different activities. In addition to that, there's the reading glasses that Larry just brought up. That's a 40-year-old problem once you start getting into your 40s, your ability to see up close does get worse, and then you go into reading glasses. As the that progresses, when you get in your late 40s, early 50s, the reading, your arms are getting so short that, like, the computer distance starts becoming a problem. So then you go into a computer glass, which is the top part will make the computer clear and the bottom part will make the reading clear.
Like bifocals?
They're like bifocals. Well, bifocal is two lenses, basically.
Okay.
Now, you can use a standard bifocal, which a lot of people use, where the top is distance, meaning 20 feet or more, and the bottom is your reading, which is about 18 inches. The problem is when you get in your 50s, when you want to look at the shelf at Vons or you want to look at a computer, that's not clear. So you can see at 18 inches and you can see at 20 feet, but at 3 feet or at 26 inches, 28 inches, you're kind of blurry.
Huh.
So then you either go into a trifocal, which is three lenses, or a progressive lens.
That's what I got.
That's what you
can't,
got. That's
you
what
can't
I got.
Tell that I got multiple lenses here.
In really? Just in?
Yeah, you don't really see.
No, there's no definitive.
There's no line.
Yeah.
I mean, my father's glasses, he had trifocals, and you could see three lines. You know, it's like saying, hey, look at me, I'm over 65. So I had plastic surgery.
And the other problem with the trifocal or the lines is they're very, you know, they're set, preset lenses. So you have little areas where you don't see clearly because you go from lens one to lens two, and there's no there's not gradual. It's sudden. With a progressive lens, like, you know, what I have and you have, you as you move your eyes down, it progressively goes to different distances. So you basically can adapt any distance that you see. Now, when you use the computer, there are computer progressive lenses where the top part starts at the computer and it progresses all the way to the near vision, which allows you to use the computer much more comfortably.
But it's not good for distance, that.
But you can't use that for distance. So basically, like, I have a pair of progressive for everyday use when I need them. That lets me see distance and lets me see up close. And then I have a pair of computer glasses which stay at my computer, and when I want to look at it, it just makes things a lot easier. A lot of people don't even know they exist, and it actually makes life very much more comfortable.
Now, do all these translate into contacts as well?
Not exactly. Not exactly. The problem with the contact lenses, you can do... contact lens will correct the vision for distance pretty well.
Okay.
So in other words, if you're, say, 25 and your vision, you have, you're a little nearsighted, maybe with some astigmatism, you put on a contact lens, you can see well, distance and near. As you get to be about 40, you're going to start losing the ability to see up close. So you are blurry at distance without the contact, but with the contact lens in, you're going to be blurry at close. So the options at that point, you start either putting on reading glasses, you know, magnifiers, or you can do what Larry does too when he does it, is a monovision. And what a monovision is, you set one eye for distance and you set one eye for the reading. So with that, when you
That sounds like a headache.
It can be.
You got to get used to it.
Wow.
But the brain can compensate pretty quickly.
It's an acquired taste.
Mm-hmm.
Half the people can tolerate and half the people can't. The ones that can tolerate it really adapt very quickly. The ones that can't tolerate it do get the head, just can't. The two eyes fight each other. It's like a brother and a sister. They just don't get along. If you can adapt to it, then basically with the contact, one for near and one for distance, you can see very well for both.
That's what I used when I'm...
Okay. We've only got a couple minutes left in this segment, but I've got a question on, you'd mentioned if you sit too close to a TV, you can get headaches. And that reminds me of the fact that I've always been a longstanding migraine sufferer. What is the connection between like headaches and the eyes?
Well, I mean, there's a different thing. Migraine, any trigger can set off a migraine.
Mm-hmm. Light. I was always very sensitive to light.
One of the triggers for migraine is light. Mm-hmm. Stress can do it. Certain foods can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Certain medication can do it. So migraine are triggers. Mm-hmm. When you get that, when you stimulate it, you cause a migraine, and you can either get what they call a eye migraine, or you can get the classic migraine. The classic migraine is extremely painful, and you can get visual problems associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get... basically what they call an ophthalmic migraine, which means an eye migraine, where you don't get the kind of headache, but you get much more visual disturbances. So those triggers can be set by anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem seeing and you're squinting to see, mm-hmm. to try to compensate for your vision, then you're going to get basically like a headache over your brows, over your in the frontal part of your head, because you'll be getting it from strain.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue that you get with headaches, which is one another problem which is quite common as you get older, is when you have what they call euphoria, which means the muscles in the two eyes don't work together.
And that's called euphoria?
Euphoria, P-H-O-R-I-A.
Euphoria. Euphoria.
And okay. What basically happens is the two eyes need to work together to see one image, and you have trouble bringing your eyes together, and that causes tremendous strain.
Huh, interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
Fascinating.
All right.
We come back.
Yeah, we've got to stop because we got to go to a quick break, a word from our sponsor. But audience out there, don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more questions for Dr. Katzman.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
The hospital is a place for healing, but what if you're not ready to go home? If your doctor's recommending skilled nursing for extended care, Villa Las Palmas is your next step. From subacute needs to physical and occupational therapy, we handle the highest level of care outside the hospital. With our around-the-clock doctor coverage, you know you're getting the best care possible with a plan to get you stable and back home. Ask your doctor about Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center and let us help you get back to health. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
So we're back with Dr. Barry Katzman, board-certified ophthalmologist, talking about the common eye ailments and how to take care of your eye. And I guess my question for this segment is, what can we do? I guess it's a two-part question. What can we do to keep our eyes healthy? And secondly, you hear all these advertisements about vitamins for the eyes. So please comment on vitamins and how do we keep our eyes healthy as we age?
Sure. Well, the first thing is you need to have examinations to find out if you have any eye disease, like glaucoma or diseases that need treatment. And that prevents a lot of problems.
Yeah, so just like you should have a yearly physical exam, you should have a yearly visit with your ophthalmologist.
Right. Glaucoma has been known as the sneak thief of night because it takes away your vision, and most people don't know you have it because when your pressure is high in your eye, you don't have any pain, you don't have any discomfort, and slowly you just lose vision. And the only way you can really diagnose it is to be examined, and by the time you would see it, it would be a problem. If you have diabetes, you need to follow up and do routine exams, because if you find that you have any bleeding in the back of the eye from diabetes, that can be treated early on with lasers so that you don't go on to progressive loss of vision. The number one cause of one of the major causes, I should say, of loss of vision is macular degeneration, which is basically an aging change in the circulation in the back of the eye. There's two types, there's a wet and a dry. The wet one has some bleeding associated with it. The dry one is just a slow decrease in circulation. Vitamins have been shown to definitely help that. People who have macular degeneration who take vitamins can definitely slow down the progression of the disease. Basically, the vitamins are the ones that come in leafy green vegetables, spinach, broccoli, things like that. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of brands that are fairly well supported scientifically about what works. They're called Ocuvite, iCaps, PersiVision. And basically what they are is you have zinc, you have selenium, you have vitamin A, you have vitamin D, you have a couple of different elements, and they basically will help slow down the progression of the disease. Now, out there, you got every brand, you got everybody selling, use this week, use that next week, and most of that's not proven. There's basically an AREDS formulation, which is the macular degeneration formulation, and that's the ones that basically will work. A lot of the stuff you see advertised on TV, they take what is in, like, iCaps or Ocuvites, and they add one or two different things and say they're better, which is not proven. The standard ones work well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other advantage we have now is that when you have the wet and you're taking the vitamins, we have injections we can put into the eye that can basically make the new blood vessels that are leaking regress. And basically, they're anti-neoplastic agents. Avastin's one of the more common ones. And if you inject it in the eye, the blood vessels will regress. And basically, we can preserve vision where we couldn't. 5 years ago, you couldn't. So.
But you're taking like a needle to the eye, like putting it inside the eye? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes.
I hope you're not awake during this.
Yes.
Are you really?
You are awake.
It's scary, but it's not very painful. You need to do a series of injections, and these people come in every month or 2 months and have an injection into the eye. You're dead in the eye, and then you inject it. It doesn't really hurt, but it is kind of scary, but it's very effective.
Don't get old.
I'm sorry. I'm like...
Well, given the option of bleeding and losing your vision and having injections...
Absolutely. You're very right. And this bleeding that happens behind the eye, is this anything that you can...
prevent?
Well, no, that you see is happening without going to you. Like, is this where you'd get like a bloodshot eye and say,
This is inside the eye. And basically what happens... a lot of times will happen is you'll see people as you get older get some of this dry macular degeneration we were talking about, mm-hmm. which is the decrease in the circulation in the back of the eye. If you take the vitamins, it tends to decrease the progression. That's the whole point. If a blood vessel breaks and bleeds, then it's the wet. That's when you need the injections. The goal is obviously to avoid it. Now, avoid the bleeding and avoid the ejection. Now they have coming out with other chemicals that injecting are going to work with with dry macular degeneration to try to prevent any progression at all. But the vitamins are really a very effective way of helping to keep it from getting worse. So the idea is you catch it early, little decrease in vision, you get examined, you find out you have some early macular degeneration, you start on the vitamins.
Okay. Now, is there an age that you would recommend people start coming to see you regularly before they have this loss of vision?
Well, there's different stages. Mm-hmm. Children should be examined certainly before they go to school.
Okay.
One of the major problems with children is what they call amblyopia, which is where one eye never develops normally.
Oh.
And children don't complain, so what they'll do is that's the way they see. So one eye's good and one eye's weak. You have till about age 9 or 10 to correct that. If you catch it early, that's when you patch the eye, or there's certain things you can do to force the bad eye to develop normally. And give them glasses or contacts, whatever you have to do, plus the patching, that a lot of times will bring the vision back. But if you catch it after age 10, you can't get it back. It's lost.
Oh.
So certainly kids should be examined before going to school. Second problem you have is as kids get more visual needs, I mean like early teens, you got to watch them and see if they're having trouble, because a lot of the kids who don't like to read or, quote, slow learners mm-hmm. have visual problems. And it's not that they have trouble reading. It's not that they don't like to read.
Right.
So glasses frequently can correct that, and you can take somebody who's a slow reader and make them a good student. There are also some eye exercises if you have some muscle problems in the eye that you can do that can also make reading easier. And when you're reading a long time and the muscles aren't working, they fatigue. That's when you get headaches, discomfort. Kids don't tell you that. They tell you, I just don't like to read. So by doing some exercises and or glasses or what you have to do, you can definitely improve it. There have been a lot of kids we've seen who went from being marginal students to really good students because this was just hard for them to read.
Hmm.
Then the second stage you come in, as you get into about the 18, 19, 20 range, that's when people want to have LASIK, which is the laser correction to get rid of the glasses, which you do anywhere between after 18, 19, 20, you can do that.
Hmm.
Next stage is as you get close to 40, you're going to start having the problem.
You have a ways to go.
I know. I'm in the middle.
Okay. As Kendra breaks out in a cold sweat.
Yeah.
and then after that, I would say assuming no problems every couple of years, from age 40 on.
Got it. Okay. You brought up LASIK surgery. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
Because I think, isn't that what you had yesterday?
No. I what did I have yesterday? I had a narrow angle something.
You had a potential type of narrow angle glaucoma, and you had laser that basically cured it. A simple procedure just cured the problem, so you'll never have a problem. LASIK surgery is a procedure where you change the shape of the cornea, the front part of the eye, to compensate for your refractive error, your glasses.
And this is when you can get rid of your glasses if you get the right procedure.
If you're a good candidate, and most people are, but there are some reasons you shouldn't be done, but most people are, you can change the shape of the eyes so you will not need glasses at all for, say, distance. When you get to be 40 years old, you're still going to have that problem, but the laser will take somebody who has astigmatism, who is nearsighted or farsighted, by selectively removing cell by cell in the eye and changing the shape of the cornea, you basically can make them see without glasses. It's painless, takes about 15 minutes, and it works pretty well.
Gosh, it's so much different than it was like 10 years ago, right?
There's a big plus, yeah. It's definitely improved.
I remember my stepdad having it, and he came home with patches on his eyes, couldn't see for I don't know how long it was.
Well,
but
there are different procedures for different problems, but basically, this morning I did a whole bunch of LASIK. They all go home without patches. They basically get off the table. They see better. And, I mean,
wow.
It's not crystal clear, you know, right after surgery. It's like looking underwater, but vision will improve, you know, 80-90%, you know, by the time they sit up. And then by the end of today, most of them will be seeing pretty well.
Right. Wow.
But the problem for someone like myself, I would probably have to get the monovision. I have to get one eye done for distance and one for reading.
Well, you have two other separate issues. You're a little bit farsighted. Farsighted is a little bit more complicated than nearsighted. But if you wanted, you would have to do the monovision like you have in the contact lens. But because of your prescription, you're really at the limits of what that could do.
Right. So I've elected basically to stay in glasses and contacts.
In your case, with what you have, you're better off with the glasses, yes.
Okay.
Huh. Okay, good to know.
So tell me, do we have time to... I have a question about prevention.
If you do it quick.
And that's diabetes. Diabetes is probably the number one reason people go blind.
Diabetes is probably the number one cause of preventable blindness. The problem with diabetes is that you get these new blood vessels that basically break and bleed in the back of the eye, and the average person wouldn't know about it till it's fairly well advanced. If we catch it early, we can, with a simple laser procedure, similar to what you had, a little different, but in the office, is seal those blood vessels off and prevent that problem. If you wait till the scar tissue forms and all the problems come from the excess bleeding, then you start talking about major surgery and or vision loss.
So your diabetics definitely need to get in for a yearly eye exam, I would think.
Absolutely. Now, the things you can do with diabetes to control... You don't have total control, but controlling your blood sugar helps. You know, keeping your hemoglobin A1C down helps. Keeping your cholesterol helps. Blood pressure helps. Smoking's a big no-no. I mean, smoking will definitely cause more problems. And then routine eye care. Those are the things you can do about it. And if you catch it early, it's a relatively simple fix. That's the whole point.
Isn't it funny how every show it ends up being about eating right, don't smoke, and exercise. It affects every part of your body. By the end of somebody hearing this show, they should be smoke-free, eating at Whole Foods, and running around like a crazy person.
And getting their eyes examined.
And getting their eyes examined, exactly. Okay.
I'm going shopping.
Audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back with Dr. Katzmann to talk more about the eyes.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and have the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs.
From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com.
Okay, welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Barry Katzman from West Coast Eye Care, and we're talking about common problems of the eye. Mm-hmm. And good news or bad news, I have a lot of these problems. I wear glasses,
it's usually how
narrow angle glaucoma, and I'm growing a cataract. So for our audience and for myself, tell us, what is a cataract and why do we get them?
Cataract comes mostly, it's an aging process of the human lens that you're born with. When inside your eye, you have a human crystalline lens, and when you're born, it's clear. It's like a window, and it can focus. That's what helps focus in the movement of the lens. As you get older, the actual fibers of the lens cloud up. When they cloud up, it's like the window gets dirtier. If it gets getting dirtier and dirtier, it gets to the point where you can't see clearly. If it gets to the point that it's affecting your vision significantly, the only option is to remove the cataract. Now, the advances in cataract surgery have been phenomenal. I mean, the old days, you had to be in the hospital for a week, you had sandbags up next to your head. There was always complications and problems. Now it's an outpatient procedure, takes about 15 minutes to do, and we now have a tremendous advance, which is called Lenzex. And what Lenzex is a laser, the first laser-assisted cataract removal that's out there. There aren't that many machines out there, but they're increasing. So what happens is the amount of energy, the laser will break up the cataract and will be able to very precisely enter the eye, correct for astigmatism, open up the cataract capsule, and break up the cataract, pre-break up the cataract so that you'll need less energy to remove the actual lens. You then take your lens out, which is already broken out, and you put a new lens in there, which is called an implant, you know, an intraocular lens implant. We now have lots of advances in implants. They're basically silicone plastic type lenses.
Wow.
That you put in there, and you fold them up like a taco, and you put it in through a tiny, tiny incision, and you open it up inside the eye. The incision we make is about 2.8, you know, millimeters, I mean, to get in the eye. You don't even need any stitches to close it. It's that small. And when you put these new lenses in, you can put a multifocal lens in there, which is like a progressive lens, so that now when you put this lens in, you can read and see distance and you don't really need glasses. You have lenses that can correct for astigmatisms, and with the Lenzex, the laser, it's been a marked advantage.
You're like the bionic man.
Almost.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's totally amazing. So for your audience, how do you know if you have a cataract and when should you seek help?
Well, in general, if you're having visual difficulties, you should be evaluated to see what the cause is. One of the causes are cataracts. Other causes, we talked about macular degeneration, glasses, need for glasses. Now, if glasses will correct you, you don't need a cataract. If the cataract is the problem, then you need to remove the cataract. So anytime you see significant visual loss, that's when it should be evaluated to find out what the cause is.
Hmm. Very nice.
Are there things that we can do now to prevent our eyes from getting to a bad place?
Well, there's certain things you can do. I mean, we talked about the use of vitamins in certain type of retinal problems like macular degeneration. Definitely helpful. If the eyes are very dry, which is a very common problem we run into here, it's a good percentage of patients I see every day have dry eye. We use a lot of flaxseed oil, and flaxseed oil does help with moisturizing the eye, which makes the eye feel a lot better.
Just regular flaxseed oil, like out of the grocery store?
Yeah, but there are different brands. The brand made by Barlean's is one of the bigger companies. They're more consistent with what works. So the Barlean's flaxseed oil works pretty well. You can get that in any of the health food stores. And it does help moisturize the eye. People who have, like, pterygiums, like you had mentioned, you know, your husband had, have very dry, irritated eyes. When you have dry, irritated eyes, these pterygiums, which are these like callus-like growths in front of the eye, those big red growths on the eye gets dry. When the eye gets dry, the redness gets worse. The redness gets worse. The growth gets worse. And you go in these cycles. Flaxseed has really been a tremendous, fairly benign, and it works very well. Dry eye is a very common problem out here. We have drops that are called Restasis, which you can use, which will help more produce more tears. And we also put little plugs in your drainage ducts to slow down the water going out of your eye. All this helps the health of the eye. In addition to that, you have, you know, wearing proper glasses, proper prescription, proper sunglasses with UV protection will also help you. Good diet, exercise, the usual things that help you in good health also help you.
Is there a vitamin carnosine or something that people promote for the eye health?
There's a lot of different vitamins that are being promoted. There's no good science that taking the vitamins other than for macular degeneration somebody who's eating reasonably well. The key to all of it, like you've done in your previous segments, good eating, good diet, vegetables. That's the key to everything. When you have macular degeneration, the addition of the specific vitamins definitely do make a difference. But frankly, good eating, good health, good exercise, control of blood pressure, control of diabetes, all this will definitely help.
So I like to kind of change gears. I went to a seminar on plastic surgery. Not that I would ever have plastic surgery.
Hey, why not?
This was given by two plastic surgeons, actually. And they were mentioning that when they do plastic surgery, when they look at the face, they divide it basically into thirds. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the mini facelift and the La Jolla facelift. And what I was
There's a La Jolla facelift?
There's something. I have a friend who had it. It's called a La Jolla facelift.
Interesting.
And the thing that I was amazed is when they usually talk about a facelift, they're usually not talking about the eyes. So it seems to me that there must be something that ophthalmologists do for, eye beauty. Can you comment on procedures that are available?
There's all kinds of procedures out there, some bizarre, some very good. In Europe, they actually take little, trinkets, and they sew them on the conjunctiva, which is the red part of your eye, sort of like a piercing.
What?
Exactly.
I'll pass on that one.
I get an eyelash in my eye, I'm freaking out.
It's sort of like putting a ring on
your nose.
Or in your mouth, your tongue. They do that. There's eyeliner tattooing, which is quite common.
I've done that, actually.
Really?
And that is permanent. And if somebody's good at it, it does pretty well. Mm-hmm. One of the big things we have, and actually it's a big favorite with our glaucoma patients, is that there are drops that we use that make your eyelashes grow.
Latisse.
Yeah, but Latisse is a glaucoma drop. Latisse was founded, its name is Lumigan, and basically was produced to control pressure in the eye. One of the side effects they found with it was the eyelashes grew.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it in a box, put on two brushes, and they called it Latisse and charge you what they charge you for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the glaucoma Lumigan drop, does exactly the same. It's exactly the same medicine.
Really?
And so we have always people who want the marijuana for the glaucoma and the Lumigan for their eyelash. Very popular. But those do help eyelashes grow. The only problem with them is that it's not you have to keep using the drops.
Right.
But they do work.
And are there some side effects? Because I have heard I have not used it, but I heard, if you've got light eyes like I do, you can get brown spots in them. Are there?
Everything has side effects. Okay, if you're putting it just on your lashes, the major side effects of them, these are prostaglandin drugs is what it came down. There's a Xalatan, Lumigan, Travitan, which were the early ones that came out. The major side effect when it came out, and the original studies were done in Sweden, which everybody had light eyes, is they found some increase in pigmentation in some select patients. It's rare. If you see it, you stop it, it's not a problem. If you don't, yes, you're... Iris is the color part of your eye can get darker. It's rare, though. One of the more common side effects, which is not quite as rare, is you can get some pigmentation in your skin, like below the lids. Now, if you watch for it and if you notice it and you stop it, it'll go away.
Oh.
If you keep using it, it can be a side effect. So like any other drug that you use for any reason, you have to know, you have to be watched. But the side effects are not common. And it's very effective. I mean, we have patients coming with glaucoma. I mean, they almost need a lawnmower to cut their eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
They're that long. They really do help.
What about the upper and lower lid blepharoplasty?
Now, one of the things that you can do as you age, and it also comes in families, hereditary, if you look through your family tree, you will see a lot of people have droopy upper lids where the skin will hang down over the upper lids.
Mm-hmm.
And lower lids can have baggy and little, like, bags. Mm-hmm. Bags are fat pads. You can have excess skin, and you can have bags. The upper lids, you have a lot of extra skin. That's quite common. And you can have the bags or the fat pad. For a relatively simple procedure, it's like 20 minutes to do the upper lids, you can remove all that extra skin and the fat pads, and it makes you look remarkably younger. And it's it's surgery, but it's a relatively simple procedure. No pain really associated with it. And you get quite a good look out of it.
Well, is this something you would do in your office?
We can do it in the office. We do it in the surgery center. We do it in the office. Lower lids, you can tighten the lower lids to get the bag and take out some of those fat bags to get those big suitcases out of the lower lids. Mm-hmm. And you get a very good effect. Now, if you have a lot of droopy skin all over your face, you need a facelift. You need more.
Right.
But this is a much simpler, you get a lot of bang for much less work.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I know.
I want to thank you for a great show. We covered a lot of ground, from glasses to cataracts to blepharoplasties.
Mm-hmm.
Would our audience, if they want to get in touch with you, how would they reach you?
You could always call our main office. Our main office in Elkhorn Boulevard, 69th Street in Elkhorn Boulevard.
Okay. That's West Coast Eye Care.
Yeah, we have offices throughout the county, but, I mean, that's our main office.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great.
And Dr. Emder? People want to get a hold of you?
I'm on the web at drlarryemder.com, and love to have you in the office to keep you healthy and keep you young.
Absolutely. And we also have a Facebook page, so jump on that. It's Aging Redefined Radio. If you've got any questions, you can feel free to send us a message on that, and you might just hear it read on the air, or maybe we do a show about it. Why not? You can also download this show if you want to hear it again. We have a podcast. So Aging Redefined, just check it out there. And thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.